Hello, this is Reverend Jill Carey from Unity of Wimberley, Texas. I'm so glad you could join us this morning, wherever you are and whenever you're listening to this. I want to wish everyone happy Mother's Day. It's a very strange thing not to be in church with each other on Mother's Day. There's usually a great celebration. We have visitors that come with our church families, mothers and aunts and other relatives, and it's very odd not to be together for this celebration, just as it was for Easter. So this morning, I'd just like to talk to you a little bit about Mother's Day and how we consider that in the realm of our spirituality. You'll notice that the title of today's talk is The Divine Feminine. And I like to use that reference when we're talking about Mother's Day, because it's not just about mothers, no offense. Who mothers us in our lives doesn't have to be the female that gave us birth. For many of us it is. I'm glad that my mother is still here with us on the earth and that I enjoy a lovely relationship with her. But sometimes Mother's Day can bring up a lot of different ambiguous feelings. Perhaps your mother has passed on and grief is still with you. That place in your heart that she held is still a little sore from losing her. Perhaps you didn't have a great relationship with your mother. Perhaps somebody else was a maternal figure to you, but it wasn't necessarily a female. It might have been your father or another relative or a friend of the family that was a safe place for you, someone who nurtured you. So when we wish you happy Mother's Day, of course, the first thing we think about are our mothers, our birth mothers, our adopted mothers, our grandmothers. But we can also think about Mother's Day in terms of the Divine Feminine, which is a spiritual attribute, a spiritual definition of one of the aspects of God, of the divine. I want to remind you again that when I say God, I am talking about a very simple three-letter word for something that defies our explanation or definition. We know that God is. We know that God is in and present everywhere. But we are limited in our human minds of being able to grasp fully what God is all about. I was reading the words of the psychologist, I believe he was a neurologist, who wrote about why God won't go away and why it's easy for us to explain away the mystical experiences of God as a glitch in our neurological wiring. But more likely, it's that we're wired to be able to experience these unusual phenomena, we might say, of God. On the other hand, the more we are in our spiritual practice, the more we see God and experience God, not so much as a miracle, but more as something that occurs in our everyday living because we're looking for it. We're looking for God. So when I talk about the divine feminine, I'm speaking of those spiritual qualities, those attributes that we learn from the divine. It's coded in all of us, no matter what our gender is. The divine feminine is that which is nurturing, that which is comforting, that which is creative, that which is protective, and any other adjectives that you can think of that you associate with the divine feminine. That's a very powerful image as well, going back to the earliest humans. Humans began to honor that the female produced children. And that happened in all mammals that they could see, It happened in the birds. They were observing all of nature and seeing what the maternal role was, and honoring that, giving praise to that, sometimes making offerings to that, that divine feminine, in order that crops would flourish, in order that the spring lambs would be healthy and plentiful. So the idea of God as a feminine figure is ancient, it's archetypal. It's not only that which is transcendent, man beyond us, but it's also that which resides in us. So today, as we talk about mothers, as we talk about what is usually the embodiment of the divine feminine, we're also talking about qualities in ourselves that we can use to explore our spirituality, to deepen it, to expand it. I know that just during this week, it's been exciting for us here at our house because, as you all know, the birds have been very, very busy, and we're listening to them more and more because the sound of humanity is a little quieter than it's been. So I had noticed that there was a little Carolina wren that had been hovering around part of the fence around our patio. Well, I have a couple of old gift bags that I got. They're made out of vinyl that I hung outside on the fence because they smelled like plastic. And I just left them out there. Well, this wren has nested in one of those bags. And in looking at both of those bags, I've discovered several old nests. So the shout out to Neiman Marcus, because those Neiman Marcus bags have become nesting places for our wrens. So the other day, as I looked over in one of the bags, because I'd seen this wren around that area so much, she flew out of the bag, and there was one baby just making all the noise that baby birds can make. And I didn't want to disturb the bag. I was just looking with my eyes, not touching anything. And I could see this tiny little beak opening it and yelling for its mother to bring it more food. And later on, we observed that there are four or five little wrens in that nest. And so that's exciting for us to be able to watch the blooming of nature with these baby birds. But I've also noticed that it's not only the mother bird that comes, but also her mate. And so both of these birds are nurturing this little nest of babies. And that's a delightful thing to know. There has been virtually no visible activity in our owl house, but I may have told you already that we discovered evidence from a broken eggshell with some little owl feathers on the ground right below the house, that there is an owlet in our owl box. So we know that the nurturing of that baby owl is going on as well. And many of you saw this week on Facebook that my dog Winston, our beautiful little West Highland Terrier, decided to take on about a 6 or 8 foot long rattlesnake in our backyard that our smaller dog, our little Malty Poo, was charging toward it. And Winston intervened to look out for his little sister dog and stayed on point until Daisy, the little dog, was out of harm's way. And he took a rattlesnake bite to his face. And so I've learned a lot about rattlesnakes this week from our veterinarian, what their venom does, what their behavior is. And from the looks of it, this was a very large female who was probably about to have a hatching of little snakes. And she was just looking for a quiet place close to a food source, hopefully not our dog, looking for a food source for herself and for her youngsters that would be arriving. So it's easy to say, oh, the birds are a good thing and the snake is a bad thing, but that's not true. All of nature shows us what the divine feminine looks like in the way they take care of their young. And so it's good for us to know that sometimes in the Hebrew Bible, God is represented as a punishing figure. Jesus even presented God as Father. But I'd like to just remind you that when Jesus talked about God as Father, it was to imply that there was an intimacy between humans and God. That God was not a distant, law-giving, punishing creator, but that God was also as intimate as a parent. And so we'll talk about the masculine aspects of God as we get to Father's Day. But as we look at the divine feminine, it's important for us to remember, especially during this time when we're not able to be with each other, we're not able to celebrate Mother's Day with our mothers. I would love to see mine. And it's heartbreaking that I can't be with her any time around this Mother's Day holiday. I have my children here, and that gives me joy because I can celebrate being a mother. But whether or not you've ever had children, whether that was by choice or by circumstances, we all have in us the divine feminine, male and female, children or no children. We have that aspect of God that lives in us. And during this time that we're going through right now, I think it's especially important that we get familiar with tapping into that divine feminine, because otherwise, in order to soothe our anxieties, our uncertainties, our discomfort, our aggravation, our sense of disorientation, that we learn to soothe ourselves in healthy ways, not going to those things that are addictive for us, or that would take away our spiritual energy rather than adding to it. And so we have in us the divine feminine to soothe ourselves. We have the knowledge that just as a mother animal protects its young, we are divinely protected. We are divinely looked after every single day, every single moment. We have all that we need emotionally, physically, spiritually, in our body, in our minds, in our spirit. And so that aspect of the divine feminine is important for us to get in touch with. It's the part that is tender. It's the part of us that is concerned about others. It's the part of us that reaches out in compassion and caring, in healthy ways, in supportive ways, in ways that nurture others without being intrusive, in ways that remind people of their value. These are all divine feminine qualities. And I want to hark back to the Catholic tradition of the Hail Mary, because Mary is one of the great representations of the divine feminine in Christianity, not only because she was the physical mother of Jesus, but also because she stands as what is depicted as the Queen of Heaven. Many depictions of Mary have stars at her feet and the divine colors of blue and white and gold around her that are soothing, that are powerful, that are comforting. And the prayer to Mary, any prayer to Mary, is a prayer that acknowledges the feminine aspect of God, the one that we can have absolute trust in, the one that we go to when our heart is sore, when our bodies are weary, when our minds are tired. And so we can tap into that sweetness of God, that part that has known us since before our birth to this life, that knows every single part of us, just as mothers know the scent of their young, from humans to birds. I think this is a very tender message for us, and I know I keep using that word, but tenderness is required of us right now. It's required of us in our transactions with ourselves, and it's required of us in our transactions with others. We are doing something right now that may be one of the most essential and crucial and important acts of healing for our planet. And knowing that, as we say, Mother Nature or Mother Earth needs us now, we have the opportunity to be part of the greening and the nurturing of the earth, just as we are part of the greening and the nurturing of our own souls. The earth is healing ourselves in the absence of our regular behavior. And this is one of the benefits that we're seeing of our isolation, is for us to be gentle, to care for hearth and home, to care for our gardens, to look after the creatures that are around us. I hope that that great big snake finds a good place to have her babies, preferably away from my house where I have dogs and cats, but I hope that she finds a safe place. For those of you that are listening and watching that don't live in Texas and don't have rattlesnakes, I acknowledge that you also have natural life around you that could appear to be dangerous and can be dangerous, but to acknowledge it as part of all of nature, all of nature. And nature is sometimes harsh in the way we perceive it. But nature is nature, and we are part of that. We are part of the trees. We are part of the birds and the animals. We are part of the alignment and the movement of planets. We're part of all that because we're part of God, and God is in us. And so today, no matter what your heart is feeling, whether your heart is celebrating the life of mothers, whether your heart is grieving the life of mothers, if your heart is grieving for yourself, for what might have been missing for you, that nurturing, that tenderness, that compassion, that encouragement for your growth, if you're grieving that which was missing in your life, today is the day to speak to God that, remember, we are falling in love with again every day. To speak to that part of God that is the divine feminine, the divine comforter, the divine cradle in which we might rest. And so there's something here today for all of us, for all of us. And remember that if you're grieving, that you are wrapped up in the arms of God, that your tears that fall are known to the divine. You notice that in unity, we don't call God he or she, because even those terms are limiting. And so I would encourage you to think of God as all, as everything, as all that is. And today, let the divine feminine that you witness around you, that moment of comfort that comes just at the right time, acknowledge that and give thanks for it. For surely this is the divine feminine of God that is with us. Before we start our meditation today, I'd like to share some words again from Mark Nepo, who I enjoy so much, that are especially relevant for the time that we're going through right now. They're especially relevant as we go through sometimes the many different feelings that Mother's Day brings to us. I'd like you to listen to these words. So if you will, just let yourself become comfortable and let your breath guide you into that deeper place in yourself, so that you might receive all that you need to receive today, that you might reach out in thanksgiving to those divine feminine figures, male, female, generational, that have nurtured you in your life. I think especially today of my granny, who was one of the holiest people I know. She taught me how to trust God. I don't always remember it, but somehow Granny's voice shows up when I need to. And she's the divine feminine for me many days. The wisdom of my mother is another example of that. But so is that comforting hug from one of my sons. So is watching a mated pair of birds take care of their young. Let your heart soften, let your heart receive, and know that as we meditate, we're meditating with each other. I don't know if you've been joining us every day at noon to pray the 23rd Psalm or a representation of the 23rd Psalm with your brothers and sisters. I hope you've been doing that because I've felt you. I have felt the comfort and the presence and the oneness with you as we reach out to each other. So let us reach out to each other now and let our energy add to each other as we meditate, no matter where we are. There's a 14th century Japanese poet. We do not know the name of this poet. That said, all tempest has, like a navel, a hole in its middle through which a gull can fly in silence. And today's reading, May 10th, is called The Edge of Center. From across the centuries, this nameless voice tells us that at the heart of all struggle, there's a peaceful, enduring center, if we only can reach it. All the wisdom traditions affirm this. Still, a deeper paradox of life is carried here. For the gull flies through the peaceful center, it does not live there. The work, it seems, for us, is to draw sustenance from that central, eternal space without denying the experience of the storm. Repeatedly, we are thrown into the storm and into the center. When in the storm, we are exacerbated by our humanness. When in the center, we are relieved by our spiritual place in the oneness of things. So to find the center and spread our battered wings is to feel the God within. Our constant struggle is in living both sides of this paradox. For we cannot get to the center without going through the storm that's around it. Yet the storm of human experience can only be endured by knowing what the gull knows. The storm can only be survived from the center. In how we pass each other from storm to center and back, there you'll find the trials and gifts of love. Continue to breathe, beloved. and imagine that we can reach out our hearts and hands to each other. For in spirit, we truly are. And know that in the storm that surrounds us in life right now, we continue to return to the center. Even as we struggle with the storm of our own feelings, there is within us that still place, that quiet place. So let your heart be at peace. And know that the Divine Mother, the Divine Feminine, the Divine Spirit of comfort, of joy, of encouragement, of tenderness, of protection, is right there. In knowing that divine center, we have the courage and the perseverance to deal with anything in the storm that might surround us, internally or externally. And today, if your heart melts a little bit, and if tears should fall, know that you are comforted. Oh, beloved, you are comforted. You are held. And the source of all is right there within you. Beloved, I promise you, as the promise has been given to us, that as you seek and dwell in that center, you will find it more and more in the life you live, in the life around you. So today, if you have a chance, go outside and listen to the voice of Mother Earth in the breeze, in the sound of birds, and yes, even in the sounds of humans. And continue to breathe this peace and carry it with you throughout your day. Return again tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that as often as you need. For surely we shall weather this storm. Together as we are apart. And breathe. And know that all is well. And we are so grateful. and so it is. Amen.